Okay, so last time we discussed the onus of Yasaf, the onus or Zeruah, but excuse me, or Zeruah and Yasaf notwithstanding, the general default position is that an onus is defined based on the Yom or Laila in which the Re'iyah occurs. That being said, what is the definition of Yom V'Laila L'inyan Vesta? So in general, Kol HaTorah Kula is Mavur from the Mishnah in Megillah and Daf Kaf, that the Ikar Adin, we assume that Yom in general starts from Alos HaShachar, goes till Tzeis. Those mitzvahs Hayom that are L'chachila performed after Tzeis, that's only a matter of L'chachila to avoid some kind of a debt, but in principle, day starts when it comes to Alos. However, this may or may not be significant that in our context, the Mishnah on Samech Gimel Amud Beis uses the term of Hanetz HaChama, as we saw. And the Rambam as well, Paradalid Yisura B, Halacha Yud Gimel, Paradalid Halacha Yud Gimel, the Rambam writes, Avar Vesta V'lo Rasa Muteras HaShamish Acher Shetavar Onus HaVest, Ketzad, I'm skipping, V'cheinim Hayadarka Liras B'shei Shos B'layla V'avar V'lo Rasa Asur L'Shamish Ad Shetizrach HaShemesh. So that Onus HaVest, if it's a Onus HaLayla, the Rambam defines that as ending at the point of Ad Shetizrach HaShemesh. Ad Shetizrach HaShemesh, at first glance, sounds like Nates, not like Alos. And that also seems to be the premise of the din that we encountered earlier in Sif Dali, based on the Ravid. Imer Gila Liras Banetzachama, Lokim Lam Shapri, Kodam Banetzachama Achrav. So it sounds like the critical point in defining the beginning of the onus hayom is nates and not alos. And that's the comment that the Chavos Das makes in Sif Katan Hey, quoting the Piskei Shuva Sif Katan Yud, Chavos Das Sif Katan Hey, that when it comes to vestos, a vest is defined, an onus HaVest is defined based on nates. And presumably, the flip side of that, or the opposite, would be Shkia. And the Chavos Das suggests that that's because Chazal has some kind of a tradition that Vestos are dependent on Hilo Chachama, that somehow there's some association between the presence or non-presence of the sun in defining which period a woman is likely to see Dam if she saw Dam during that window previously. So somehow there's some tradition that even if when it comes to mitzvah yom in general, we define yom as beginning with alos, when it comes to vestos, we define yom beginning with hanetz, which would mean that if that's true in a literal exact sense, if a woman sees dam 15 minutes before hanetz, that's considered re'iyah b'layla, and the ona of record is the previous layla ona, and not the ona sayom. That's what would emerge for this analysis of the Chavos Das, which may be meduyak in the Makaros that we just quoted. Sidrei Tara is not prepared to accept that. Sidrei Tara Sipkatan Vav is bothered by the Chavos Das. He's bothered by that Lashon Rambam of Achet Tizrach HaShemesh. And he points out that the Rambam in the previous halacha uses the term Yom V'Laila without mention of Hanetz HaChama. And the Rambam Halacha Yudbeis discusses the establishment or the existence of the onus HaVest. Halacha Yudgimel is what happens if the onus HaVest passes. So in Halacha Yudbeis, in discussing the onus HaVest in of itself, the Rambam just uses the term Yom V'Laila. It's only in Halacha Yudgimel the Rambam concludes with Ad Shetizrach HaShemesh. So Sidrei Tara seems to be more impressed with the Yom V'Laila as being the default, as being the general or reflecting the general definition of Yom V'Laila B'Chol HaTorah Kula, and less impressed by the significance of Ad Shetizrach HaShemesh. Aruch HaShulchan also, in Sifkat and Kav Zayin, thinks that when the Ravid, which is what's reflected in the Mechaber Siftal, it uses the term Neitz HaChama, Sircha de Mishnah Nakat, that it's true, that is the Lashon of the Mishnah, and the Ravid just uses that terminology, but there's a certain labdafkinness to it, and really Yom is defined based on halachs. Aruch HaShulchan thinks that you should be machmir in both directions and treat any re'iyah between alos and nates, l'chumra in both directions, as being a possible re'iyah salayla or a re'iyah sayom for purposes of determining onos, but that's not generally accepted position. The minhag olam is like the Chavos Das with the following possible qualification, but the minhag olam in general seems to be like the Chavos Das, so we define vestos bein l'kula bein l'chumra, or onas avest bein l'kula bein l'chumra, as being dependent on nates, and presumably dependent on shkia as well on the flip side. Rabbi Karp has the following suggestion or observation, Perek Vav, footnote 10, asterisk. He thinks that maybe when it comes to vestos, it's neither alos nor what we usually refer to as nates as a critical point, but rather the point at which the sun provides light in a significant way, which may be after Mashiach year, but before our next, meaning not defined based on the point at which the sun pops up above the horizon, but maybe even a little bit of time before that, where there's still enough light out there, which he says may be a position that you find in Gaonim as to the definition of Nates in general. He attributes this to Rav Sar Shalom, quoted in the Sefer Eshkol, as a position of Gaonim that may reflect that as being definition of Nates in general. And maybe that's what's critical here. If the Chavos Das's point is that Kimlu L'Chazal somehow, that the presence of the sun is what's critical when it comes to Vestos, then maybe that could begin even a few minutes before the sun actually peaks above the horizon, or the light provided by the sun even before the sun peaks above the horizon.
Michael. What are we defining as useful light as not Mashiach here?
So he doesn't spell it out. I don't know. You'd have to work out. I don't know. He doesn't spell it out. Yeah, to see, he came out with the Sefer on Brachos after the Sefer on Nida, so maybe he expands upon it there. I don't know. I don't remember. I don't remember encountering this Shita Sagaonim in the sources that I've seen about Nates previously. Although I'm not saying it's not there. I presume that it is. It just didn't register as such. So we're not giving Shina and Zmana Higam. Just I thought it was an interesting ha'ara that he makes. And he actually, the halacha, based on that, he thinks that, before that, he thinks maybe that's even what the Rama means in Ad Shetizrach HaShemesh. Ad Shetizrach HaShemesh, it doesn't mean what we call Nates, but maybe it's an earlier point where the sun has some effect already, even if it hasn't formally risen above the horizon. But he thinks for that reason, on the flip side, that the same would be true possibly for Shkia, that even if Vestos or Onas of Vest are defined based on Nason Shkia, you would still go a little bit past our Shkia, even if you don't assume like Rabbeinu Tam. And because even there's still significant light out, even after the sun sets in the immediate minutes after the sun sets below the horizon. And he quotes from Rav Yashiv that Rav Yashiv thought, he doesn't put an exact number of this, but he quotes from Rav Yashiv thought that for purposes of Onas Avest, even though in principle we assume Shkia, but you give it a few minutes past Shkia, and Rabbi Karp thinks that should be up to about 15 minutes after Shkia, that you would still consider that to be and onas hayom for purposes of vestas. I'm sorry? So the Chavos Das sounds like what he's saying is that somehow Chazal had this tradition that the woman's body responds to periods of light versus darkness. So I'm sorry? So the way... Right. So the way Rabbi Karp understands that, maybe it's not the sun per se, but the light provided by the sun, which exists even a few minutes in either direction above the sun's actually above the horizon. So it's sunlight without the presence of the sun above the horizon per se. That's what he argues. We generally assume, Rabbi Karp makes this point also, that let's say a woman gets up in the morning and she sees Dam. So she doesn't know for sure that the Dam didn't start in the middle of the night. Well, she knows that she sees Dam now, but there's no way of ascertaining definitively whether the flow started 5 minutes ago or 3 hours ago. Now, yesh v'yesh as to whether a woman would be woken up by the beginning of a short flow. So different women would have potentially different reactions to whether the beginning of the flow would wake her up. But if that's not the case, so generally assume that if a woman has re'iyah by yom, when she gets up, then you're only choshesh for that day is on a seves. You don't have to be choshesh that it started in the middle of the night. But Rabbi Karp points out that if the volume of dam that she sees at that point is more than what you reasonably could expect would have been produced or would flow since Nates, then you have to be choshesh that the onus habeth began at night. And he quotes that from Eliyashiv, that you have to be machmir then in both directions to treat both the night and the day as onus habeth. Okay. Rav Osner has the following in Chelek Dalid, Shevet Alevi, Simin Sadiches, Os Gimel. Chelek Dalid, Simin Sadiches, Os Gimel. Isha, Shenoseth, Ne America, Balayla, Meuchar, Laris Yisrael, Magil, Laris Yisrael, Ayidei Hevdel, Hashoz, Vitchilas, Laila Haba. Women traveled from New York to Laris Yisrael. Vahaisa, Onas, Haprishab, Oso, Yom. So the Ona is a day that she travels. By day in the sea of Mimarav Lemizrach, Nimshach Onazos, Rakshos, Furos, Kayadua. So she travels during her Onas Avest. So she has a daytime flight, and it's a daytime Onas Avest. So by the time she gets to Eretz Yisrael, the Ona is over, and she potentially shaved 7 hours off that Onas Avest. So does the fact that are we choshesh? Do we have to be machmir to count the entirety of the onus haves based on the clock where she left, based on New York time, or no? That once she gets there, as well, we follow the local clock, even if she ended up shaving 7 hours off her onus haves. Like when it comes to Tanis, we generally assume, contrary comment in the footnote in one of the volumes of Sipasuk Sferek's far notwithstanding, where we generally assume that you follow where you are for Tanias, Bein L'chumra, Bein L'kula. What about Onas? So he writes, Misubkani ma'od, im lo tzricha lifrosh gam b'layla shel ha'acharav kishir shos nashlimas onas shlema. Maybe it should be machmir. Why? That... Aval pidil inyan zaynakiyim kasafti dadas nota de Allah zaynakiyim boker ve'erabin and va'ika. So when it comes to shivanakiyim, we don't care about hours; we care about day and night. So even if you cut off time, but you're counting your 7 days based on day and night. Aval hacha the alula liras bosam shavs dem dera klal etzla b'yom el d'afshav ayde yashino inasu laila b'chalkam. So he's koshesh, maybe this is different, because here, what's our concern? That Aruch Bizman Oba, that the point of Prisha of the Onus Avest is that there's a likelihood that she's going to see Dam during this window. So just because she flies east doesn't give us less reason to be concerned about that that same window of time. So Rav Osner is koshesh, that maybe it should be Machmir over here to add on the 7 hours to the Onus Avest, or whatever the difference is. And bichoshesh based on your point of origin. The Sefer Vest. those balacha, he thinks that even if you accept Rav Elzner's chumra, that only makes sense if you have a vest kavua. Vest kavua, so then there's more of a concern, more of a likelihood that there's previous history indicating that she may see dam during this window. But when it comes to vest she'eino kavua, so then we're not really, we don't have that kind of a history to work off of to say that her body is used to seeing dam during this ona. He thinks that even according to Rav Elzner, Rav Elzner wouldn't be machmir by a vest she'eino kavua. Right. Well, no. Let's say you take off in the previous ona, and then your ona begins mid-flight, New York time. And by the time you get to Eretz Yisrael, it could be over in Eretz Yisrael, but still you're within your own New York time. Well, whatever cheshbon of hours that works with, but you could have a case where you're shortening the honor.
And then the second one was
It sounds like it's based on a chavistas type notion that we have this kimlu chazal about that window. Now the chavistas pins it solely on the sun, so that's going to be relevant here because the sun already set. But that idea that this this window of time has some biological component. Rav Avadia here suggests a Svek Sveka L'chumra. Rav Avadia is the king of Svek Sveka L'kulas, but Rav Avadia here is a Svek Sveka L'chumra. This is in Chelak Aleph, page Kuf Yotes, that he thinks that in that case where you're flying to Eretz Yisrael, then you have a Svek Sveka L'chumra. That maybe we assume that's not he's talking about he, no he's sorry he's talking the other case, right? Let's say in the opposite. So you fly. Sorry about that case, but it's not always going to work. What he says is that you have a sex cycle of chumra, that maybe you have to assume like the Yorzeru and the Asaf that have an expanded amount of vest. And even if you don't assume like them, so maybe you have to be choshesh for the shows of vest in the place of origin. But that the word Zeru is the previous onus of Est. You were talking about going forward into the next onus of Est. So for the Aviasaf, you could have a case where, depending on where what the hours of the flight are, the Aviasaf would extend your vest going forward. So there, I guess you could have the sex fake. I'm not sure what the case is where you would invoke the Orzerua. But be that as it may, Rav Avadia also says that if it's a vest she'eino kavua, then there's no need to be. No need to be mapped. But Rav Avadia does think that if you go from Eretz Yisrael to America, so then you're extending the hours, so then you do have to follow the local place. You can't say that you're flying in America based on the American clock, it's your onus of Esna, but based on the Israeli clock, your onus of Esna is over. But then you definitely have to be mapped in the place where you are now, that you have to follow the local clock as far as your onus of Esna. I don't think Evan agrees to it. The question is, the Shevet Levi case, they have to be Machmir. So it seems like the consensus of Poskim is that if it's a Ves She'ena Kavu, you could be Mekel. And it's aside from an Ona Beinonis, which has a din of a Ves Kavua, as we'll see, that most women do not have a other kind of Ves Kavua these days. So it's of less irrelevance. Okay. So Sif-Hei-Sif-Vav, the Mechaber has two related halachos. Sif-Hei, in Regila Liros Re'iyah Mikodem HaNetzachama, Ad Acher HaNetzachama, Asura Belayla Ubiyom, Asura Belayla Ubiyom Kishir Nimshachba. So if a woman has a Re'iyah, you're talking about this Kovei Re'iyah in this way, that she has a Re'iyah that begins before HaNetz, and continues in a continuous flow past Hanetz, then she's a Asura that night, and the following day, Kashira Nimshachbo, for the amount of time that the flow continues. And that's based on a Ravid, Tikkun Vestos, the beginning of Siman Aleph. So this then is talking about a re'iyah that begins at night, continues into the next morning, and then stops. A short re'iyah that is pretty uncommon is manenu. Then halacha vav is a more common case. Invest nimshach bezo gimel yamim sheshofas omis alefes. But if you have a re'iyah that continues for 2 or 3 days with a flow or a sputtering, eina tzricha lifrosh ela ona harishona shel avest, you only have to be poresh during the initial onas avest. The kaven she'avra ona v'lo rasa muteres. But once that ona passes, the next time around, then there's no requirement of prisha after the initial ona. So the more common case, a woman has a flow that continues for a few days. The onus of record is only the first ona when the flow begins, not all the subsequent onas. So here the Ravid quotes three positions. This is the Ravid also at the beginning of Shar Tikkun Vestos. The first position is that death to be choshesh for all the onos. A woman has a flow that goes on for a few days. So the first position the Ravid quotes is you have to be choshesh for all the onos as a vest she'eno kavua, but only the first ona we treat as a vest kavua. The second position is that no, you're only choshesh for the initial ona savest, and everything else is viewed as a continuation of the original ona savest. These are all damim nosaf. And the third position of the Ravid is that every ona in which you have this extended re'iyah has a din of an ona savest, even as a vest kavua. So again, three positions in the Ravid. The first position, favored by the Ravid, is that the initial ona savest is treated as a vest kavua. The subsequent ona savests are the subsequent onas where she has extended re'iyah treated as a vest she'eino kavua. The second position, which is that of Balamar, is that the only ona of relevance is the first ona of est, and everything else, the extended re'iyah for a few days going forward, that's all a continuation. Those are dumb and those often a continuation of the first ona of est. And the third position is that you have to be machmir to treat every ona as an independent ona of est, even as a vest kavua. So here in Sifah, the Mechaber passes like that middle position, like the position of Baal Amor, that we only treat the original ona of est, the first ona of est, as the ona of record, and everything else is considered to be damim nosafim. So both the Taz and the Shachar are bothered. What's the interplay between Sif-Hei and Sif-Vav? Sif-Hei is talking about a case where she starts seeing a night, continues into the daytime, and then she's asura bayom tishir hanimshachbo. And Sif-Vav is having the same case, just instead of continuing into the next day, it continues for 2 or 3 days later. And there we're only concerned about the original onus of S. So why is that better? Why is that different than the din in Sif-Hei? So the Taz writes in Sifkat and Tess, the timeo the gabe dover muad shedim shaf beyom chashav meinyan avest atzma. Mashen came bekan she efsher shetia kol riachas elatosefes dam. The kaven shin estalik ekariyan estalik gam kena tosefes. That if it's a relatively short ri'iya, so then it's reasonable to view it as a single ri'iya, going from night to the daytime, as a single unit, and to be choshesh for both the night and daytime onos as an onos of est. But if the ri'iya extends for a number of days, so then you can't call that a ri'iya achas. That's called tosefes damim. That's additional dam that's connected to the original ri'iya, but that's not all the original ri'iya. Meaning to say that if you have a relatively short ri'iya, so that's viewed in a single snapshot, a single time frame, where if we're talking about the likelihood, if you have that ri'iya during that period of time, the likelihood of that being replicated on a basis going forward as an onus of est is significant. But if you have a ri'iya that takes a place over a few days, so the goreim that we have to be concerned about is at the beginning. It's not that there's a different goreim every few hours that creates a new concern. That if you haven't seen Dam yet, you're going to see Dam now in the new period. That's basically what the Taz says to distinguish. The Shach says a little bit differently with possible nafkamina. The Shach writes in Sifkata and Tesayin, L'adami l'sifei, the tzricha lifrosh b'yom kishir nimshachba, the hasam rora ri'iya meruba mikodem anetzacham atochayom. Avalkan eina ri'i achas, Ella Hariya Sharoa Barishona Hitila Savest, the Koma Sharoa Akhirkah Dhamma Miseirim Hu, Hitos Fuba, Kakasvabaprishakasav, the Dafka Lael, the Hemshe Hudavar Muat, Svarlomar the Gamahumistare. So where the Hemshech is minimal, then you can say it's Mistar. If Masha Enkin Kishu Bezo Gimayam in the Chayosib. That lashon of hasam roa ri'iya meruba mikodem anetzachama, as opposed to here eina ri'iya achas, it's not the same ri'iya. It sounds like at least the Baal Shulchan understands this to mean that there's an ebb and flow. It's not a consistently uniform ri'iya. As opposed to Sif-Hei, he understands the Shach to be saying, in Sif-Hei, there's basically a uniform ri'iya of the same strength and volume that continues for a few hours straight from night into day. But if you have a ri'iya that extends for a few days, so it's highly unlikely, it's not normal that would be a ri'iya that has the same exact strength and volume and flow throughout. It's going to have larger spurts and smaller spurts and more volume of dam and less volume of dam, but it's not a single protracted ri'iya. So in theory, according to the Shach, if you did have a single protracted ri'iya, which biologically doesn't seem so common, but if it's the exact, consistent, same flow, same volume for even an extended period of time, so then the Sif-Hei did would govern as opposed to this if Vav did. But again, it's highly, under normal circumstances, the Sif-Hei did is highly uncommon that you have that kind of such a short ri'iya. And the Sivavdin, which is the common scenario. So that's what we assume, that the only ona that concerns us is the original ona when the flow begins, and not subsequent onas. Yeah. Not necessarily. But the Baal HaShulchan thinks the mashmos that I just told you is significant. You don't have to read it that way. Okay. Fine. So let's move on now to Siv Zion, the din of Muberes and Menekes. So the Mishnah on Dav Zion, beginning on Zion Aleph on the bottom, going on to Zion of the Beis. So the Mishnah presents a category of Nashim that are Musulakas Damim, Besula, Muberes, Meniko, Zekena. The context of the Mishnah is the din of Dayashaita, going back to the Mishnah Daf Beis, that even though in many situations, if a woman sees Dam, we have to be concerned that the Dam existed earlier. But in the, when it comes to these four women, where it's unlikely that they're going to see Dam because they're Mitsulakos Dam and because they're biologically not predisposed to seeing Dam, so then if they do in an anomalous way see Dam, we say Dayashaita, you don't have to be concerned that the Dam was there earlier, and that Taras that she came in contact with might have become Timaeus. So that's the context of the Mishnah on Dav Zayin about the Arba Noshim that are Misulakis Damim. Then the Gemara on Dav Ches Amud Beis defines Muberes for these purposes. Muberes Mishi Yivada Ibura. The Kama Hakaris Uber. So in order for a woman to be certified as a Muberes, you have to have Hooker Ubra. So what is that? Simchas Omer, Mishem Meir, Shlosha Chadashim. The Alpha P, Shein Rai Ludavar, Zech Ludavar, the Pasit by Tamar, Shein Amar, Vihikim, Mishlosh Chadashim. Okay. So that's the din of Hooker Ubra. The Gemara says that Hooker Ubra, the point at which we certify a woman as being pregnant is at the 3 month month mark. Fine. Then the Gemara in Daf Tesam and Aleph, about 50 lines down. Bamineya Husaba Mirabi Yochanan. Higia es vesta bimei bura v'lo badka mahu. What's the din if a woman's a muberes and she did not perform a bedika ba'onus ha-vest? Amibayilan, leave it to my number vestas deraisa. My came into vestas deraisa by bedika. Dilma came into damemis salakilo by bedika. The Gemara wants to bring a rai for the din of b'machbe, which we'll get to, that if a woman is in a situation where there's pachad that's going to cause a disruption of a normal biological cycle, there she's tahora because charada misalekas es adamim. Time to charada halakha charada begin best of loba katmeya am best of the raisa. But definitely, if you assume bestos there are banan, then a bedika is not ma'akev, the tara of a muberes. So what's the din l'chachila? If we assume vestas derabanan, does a misulekas damim, Gemara is talking about a muberes, does a misulekas damim need to l'chachila perform bedikos be'onas havest? So most Rishonim assume that even as a lechachila matter, women do not need misulekas damim does not need to perform a bedika bonus avest, and the corollary to that is that there's no chiyuv of prisha samuch levesta. If you look, for example, at the Ramban in the Halachos, the end of Parakei. Ha'isha Sifkav Dalit, Ha'isha Shahaisa Nechbeis B'machba V'mnei Pachad V'giya Yom Vesta Choshesh Eslo Afilo Lo Hayav Vest Kavua Avar Hayom V'lo Rasa Mutaras l'shamish afa pishla baka. Shechazaki shecharada misalekas es hadamim. Chaybu beref shehukar ubra manika kol kafdal l'chodesh afilu meis bina. Im avriz man vesta and mutaras l'shamish kevin shelarasa afa pishla baka. So the Ramban holds that l'chachila you need a bedika. If you didn't do bedika, the onus of vest, a misulakas damim is still mutaris, but l'chachila, you do require bedika b'onas havest, and there is a din of prisha b'onas havest. That's the Ramban. However, the Rashba writes, both in Ba'ayi Zayin Shar Gimel and in the Chidushim on Tesamen Aleph, that the Lashon of Rashba and Torah Sabayi is Einan Choshishos Havest on Klal. That Mislekes Damim is not Choshishos for her vest at all. Does not require bedika even lechachila, and does not require prisha beonas havest. And that's what the Mechaber writes in Sif Zayin. Ibigia vesta bime ibura, mishahukar ubra, obime minikta, shem kaftal kadosh mishtano at a vlad, a field makes a vlad, ain't a sricha lifer sabach levesta, there's no requirement of prisha, a field of vesta mutaris below bedika, and there's no requirement of bedika. So that's the position of Rav Rishonim, the Rabban notwithstanding, that's what is reflected by the Mechaber in Shulchan Aruch. The difficulty with this is the Lashon of Gemara, because the Gemara presents a question as Higia Eis Vesta Bimei Ibura below Bodka. She didn't do Bedika. Then the Gemara is told that in Vestas Deraisa Vestas Derabanan. So Vestas Derabanan, if you hold Vestas Derabanan, even if she didn't do Bedika, she's still a Mutaris. But that sounds like you'd need to do Bedika L'Chachila. So how do you deal with that? In the Sefer Vestas Balacha, he points out that if you look carefully in the Rashba and Torah Sabayis, you see the Rashba wasn't goreis those two words in the Gemara. That he wasn't goreis below Bodka. He just had it. Gi'eis vesta bimei ibura, what's it in? It didn't have a gears of lobadka. And the Bach writes that the rush wasn't goreis for lobadka, even though in our rush it does appear, but the Bach writes that the rush didn't have a lobadka either. And the Sefer Vesta of Malacha points out, it's mavur that way in the Ran also, because in the Chidushei Aran, he asks why the Gemara doesn't say v'lo badka, implying that his gersa did not have below bodka. But either way, whether or not that's the proper gersa in the Gemara, that's the position of Rav Rishonim, that's what we say in Shulchan Aruch, that a muberes or manika does not require bedikos bonus avest, and does not require no din of prisha bonus avest, no din of prisha samach avest. I'm sorry? Sound like doing a bedika of l'chachila? It's like even if you take out the words below bodka. But that's still bidi evet, right? The Gemara.
No, I know the Gemara started that in the low part. They were giving us the right to play the Gemara or not. It's not like we believe we can work it.
So you think that that last line of love by Vedika is mashma even the chachila by Vedika. So Gemara's original question was, if you didn't do Vedika, what's the din? Implying that the lechachila definitely needed Vedika. And when the Gemara concludes, love by Vedika, that's even, so min akasul akasul, so you don't even regard Vedika lechachila. Right, that's what the Rashba discussed. Right, the Rashba has a back and forth about that. Right. You're saying even if you were to be Gares, Vila Badka initially, that's okay for the Rashba because the Maskanas Gemara is a minakasa lakasa that you don't even need it lechachila. That's what I would think. Okay. Okay, good. The Shach just points out in Sivkat and Kaf that the Lashon of the Mechaber Eina Sricha Lifrosh Samach Levesta Afil B'Soch Vesta Muteres B'lo B'dika. So if you read that literally, it sounds like there's no requirement to Prisha Samach Levesta, but there is a requirement to Prisha B'Shas Vesta. The Shach says that's not the case, that even of course the preacher is having understood that way, but he doesn't think that that's a valid diuk, and the lalacha even toch onas aves toch shas aves, no requirement of preacher from mitzvah kastavim, and sometimes there's a conflation of the term samach levesta with vesta because by itself. The Gemara uses the term samach levesta, which Maskani we say really means vesta. Moshe. Right. So even if you say vesta is deraisa, as Moshe just pointed out, the Maskani says Gemara lo by vedika, definitely as a b'di'avim matter, and possibly even the chachila. So in the end, the Gemara says that even l'man the vesta is deraisa, you don't need vedikas. Originally, the Gemara thought to be tolerated on the rice of the Rabbanon, but then in the end, even if you hold the rice, you don't misluck a thumb, it's a different category. Okay, so we saw the Gemara and Daf Kaf Amidbeis, the Gemara and Daf Kaf Amidbeis, that 3 months into pregnancy is the shear of Hooker Obra. Sidre Tara, Simon, Simon Kuf Saidi Dalid, Sifkata and Zion. Sidre Tara, Simon, Kuf Saridal Sifkat and Zion quotes a Shuva of the Avodas Hagirshuni. and understands the Avodas HaGeshuni to mean that Hooker Uber is a simen and not a Siba. That the definition of a Muveres as a woman who is Hooker Ubra is the Hooker Ubra is a way of identifying whether she's a Muveres, but there's no value to Hooker Ubra itself per se. If you are in theory to be able to determine that a woman was pregnant without Hooker Ubra, without the 3-month mark, then she was still of a din of a Mesulak Estamim anyway. And the Sidre Tara disputes that. The Sidre Tara thinks that even if we have objective knowledge that the woman is a Muveres, she's not considered halachically a Mesulak Estamim until Hooker Ubra. And he thinks that's mashmah from the Lashon of the Gemara there in Daf Ches. Midi hu taima ela mishum derosha kaved aleha veivareha kavedin aleha. That's the point at which a woman has certain changes in her body as a result of being pregnant. So it sounds like he thinks that's part of the definition of muberes for persons of Mitzalak Hazdamin. It's you have to be at a certain stage of pregnancy, or the fact that a woman is Mitzalak Hazdamin is a function of being at a certain stage of pregnancy where you have this this reality of Rosh HaKavid Aleha, they barak faith in Allah. So even if you could establish empirically, scientifically, medically, that a woman is pregnant before the 3-month mark, that doesn't make a difference as far as halacha is concerned. In the Sefer Vestas Balach, he points out this is Mefurish in Atash Beitz, Chidushi Atash Beitz, Nida Dav Tes, who writes, Toch Gimel Chadashim, the noda al pibikian shehi muveres kosheshes avesta. That if a woman is within 3 months of pregnancy and she knows based on the representation of bikian that she is indeed pregnant, she's still kosheshes avesta. So gimel chadashim is a hard fast demarcation that defines the mislak estamim. It's not a function of whether we know her to be pregnant objectively or not. In some Achronim, argue in the Sidre Tara, Avnei Nezer of Kiveger, and assume that even earlier than 3 months, if we establish that a woman is indeed pregnant, she has a din of a misulek as damin. Avnei Nezer, Reish Lamedches Os Gimel, Reish Lamedches Os Gimel, he writes, we see ourselves that nowadays a muberes is in effect a misulek as damin even before the 3-month mark. And he invokes some kind of nishtana hateva idea that in the days of Chazal, a woman would more likely still see dam until the 3-month mark. That's not the case anymore. And the Shtana Teva, and that has an effect on the din as well. And Kivager has something along those lines as well in Kama Simin Kuf Kaf Ches, Shuvas Yerodema Dura Kama Simin Kuf Kaf Ches. The Sefer Vestos Halacha points out that there's a Chuvas Haradvaz, Chelak Aleph Simon Shin Kaf Aleph, Chelak Aleph Shin Kaf Aleph, who makes a point that in his time being a contemporary or young contemporary of the Machaber, that in his time, women were not seeing Dam in the early stages of pregnancy. He says, if you're going to argue Nishtana Vatvayim, that should change the din. Well, it's already Nishtana Hateva at the time of the Mechaber, and the Mechaber didn't change the din. So if your whole argument is based on the fact that biology has changed, well, the biology already changed before the Shulchan Aruch, and yet the Mechaber didn't change the halacha. And as it is, as many point out, Rabbi Morgenstern has this in print on page 287, but there is a certain percentage of women even now that will see dam in the first 3 months. That's not at all a unheard of or even uncommon. It's not the norm. But I think I saw somewhere up to a third of women may see dam during, at some point during the first 3 months of pregnancy. So even if the theory might be relevant, it's not necessarily correct in the science even nowadays. Rav Moshe has two tshuvas, an early tshuva and a late tshuva, that have different takes on this. Chela Gimel Simen Nun Beis Os Aleph. Chela Gimel Simen Nun Beis Os Aleph. This is a late tshuva, 1980. Sir Moshe's bottom line there is that there's what to be makel about when it comes to a contemporary mu'uberes once she knows that she is indeed pregnant, even before 3 months, because nishtanu atvayim, and it's not normal for women in that situation to see dam. But then he concludes, even if that's true in theory, but lemaisa it should be machmer. And he gives a strong significant credence to the nishtanu atvayim argument, but the conclusion of the tshuva is that nevertheless, in practice, you should be machmir. However, in an earlier tshuva, Chelak Aleph Simen Tzadi Zayin, written back in the Luban days, there Moshe goes with the Noda Bihuda and the Geveger camp that that women don't see at the beginning of pregnancy now, and I'm sorry, the other way, that Rav Moshe, the earlier tshuva in Chelek Aleph Simen Tzadi Zayin, assumes that even if it appears to us that women don't see early on, but that's not a vade that they won't see, and therefore you have to be machmir. And then Rav Moshe writes in Tshuva to Rabbi Eider, Tshuva Aleph to Rabbi Eider, he understands to say that even though he raises Nishtana Hateva, well, the maskan is that the din doesn't change. Then he writes to Rabbi Eider that he says you should write in your English sefer that a pregnant woman before Hoker Ubra requires bedikos Bisman Vesta. And this is reprinted in Chelaches, and Mordechai Tanner wrote in the brackets that the reason Rav Moshe said this is because if you're going to write an English sefer, then if your audience is Bali Tshuva, so they may get confused about the notion of Nishtana HaTeva. Mordechai Tendler in his notes in the printed Tshuva in Cheleches, Rabbi Eider printed the Tshuvas in the back of Rabbi Eider Sefer. Then in Cheleches Vigas Moshe, they reprinted the Tshuvas to Rabbi Eider, but Mordechai Tendler wrote notes in brackets. So in well, in notes, he said Rabbi Moshe wrote this because even though in principle he held that you could be Mako, but if you're going to write an English book, people aren't going to understand the notion of Mishana Tvam and it's going to confuse them. So you should write that you should be Machmer. And then in the Sefer Vestos Balacha, he writes that the rabbi first from Chicago told him that he once wanted to ask Rav Moshe about the Stiras and the Shuvos as to whether Mikra Adin, you need to be Machmer, or whether in principle Moshe thought you could be Mako, just maybe Kedai Lahachmer. Or maybe you make it across the board. So he says, Rabbi first told him that he bumped into Rabbi Eider when he was Rabbi first going to talk to Moshe. Rabbi Eider said to him, I already asked him about this, and he said to keep all the tshuvas that are printed, don't take anything out of the printed farm. And that is that. So Moshe is usually assumed to have held that in principle, you could be Mekel even within 3 months. Even if he didn't want to pass on that way publicly. In the Sefer Orchos Rebbeinu, Chelek Dalit, page Mem Gimel, in the first printing of the Orchos Rebbeinu, they attribute such a position to the Chazon Ish. And he said, the author of the Orchos Rebbeinu said that he was reluctant to print this because no one else said it, and then was it Chaim Kanievsky told him maybe that the Chazon Ish already said it, so you don't have to worry about printing it. But the general consensus of Poskim is that we follow the original din that a woman is only considered to be misalekas dam who wants its hooker uber, wants its 3 months into the pregnancy. So holds Rav Avadya, so holds Rav Osner, Chela Gimel Simon Kufkaf, Chela Gimel Kufkaf, Rabbi Eider quotes as B'Shem Rav Aaron Cutler, Perek, chapter 1, footnote 85. Yes, Rabbi Willick says also that there's no reason to be makel on the hooker uber matter. Lemaisa, it's of limited relevance because your regular vestos, the first time around, once you get pregnant, you're not going to know for sure that you're pregnant until you pass your regular first round of vestos. And most women don't have a vest kavua. So at worst, it's relevant during the first month. In theory, if a woman is able to ascertain that she's pregnant before she hits her onabeinus, it's then to be relevant for an onabeinus. But beyond that, it's of limited relevance nowadays when you don't really have a vest kavua. Okay. That what? I've heard and seen that from multiple people, both in the medical profession and in the rabbinic profession. I don't have any independent data to bring to the table, but I've heard that from many sources. That if it was really Nishtana Teva,
yeah,
then the Siddur Torah would agree.
And if someone was saying that,
why? But Siddur Torah, Siddur Torah is saying that not necessarily. Mislekasdam is still a function of a certain stage in pregnancy. So you're asking, wouldn't everyone, if it's real in the standard, Tava shouldn't have an, I don't know, that's the, okay. Right, as far as a Meinekes, Rav Moshe writes that nowadays, the Meinekes Chazal, the assumption is that a woman is going to be Mislech Hazam for 24 months after she gives birth. Nowadays, the Teva is that both women begin to see Dam again well before 24 months, even if they continue to nurse. So, the Shtana Tvam ends up going Lechumer as opposed to Lekula, that you'd have to start being Choshesh for Bestos once a woman sees Dam, even if she's halachically still a Meinekes. So Moshe writes that Lemaisa, once a woman begins to see Dam again as a Meinekes, even within 24 months of childbirth, so she has to start being Choshesh for any vest kavua that she had pre-pregnancy. And you have to start being choshesh for an onabeninus. That's what he writes in Tshuva number 2 to Rabbi Eider. And then after you may hanaka, in theory, you have to go back to, even if you're about to the selecta stuff for 24 months, you still have to go back to a ves kavua that you had pre-pregnancy, which contemporary Achronim are skeptical whether that's still a maisa nowadays. In practice, there may be reasons not to be choshesh, or you don't have to be choshesh anymore for that ves kavua going back, in theory, almost 3 years. But lemaisa, most women don't have that kind of veskavua, so it's of limited practical relevance. In the other direction, the din is in Kuf Pei Tes Sif Lamed Gimel that a muberes is not kovas vesta toch ibura. That let's say a woman does see dam, even though she's halach mislek as dam, but she ends up seeing dam in an anomalous case. But because that's anomalous, because that's not reflective of any pattern, she's not going to be a kovas vest during Yimei ibura. And that's of no further relevance beyond that point. Okay, we'll stop here for today.